I'd like to call this meeting of the Champaign County Board of Community Hope for Elon County Facilities and Highway to order. It's Thursday, November 8.12. Time is 6:15. Please turn off your cell phones or turn them down. Roll call, please.
Petrie.
Here.
Quisenberry. Richards. Rosales. Schrader.
Here.
Richards is here.
Richards is here. Alex.
Here.
Ammons.
Here.
Anderson.
Here.
Bensel. Berkson.
Here.
Betts.
Here.
Carter.
Here.
Cowart.
Francis.
Esri.
Here.
Holderfield. James.
Here.
Jay.
Here.
Kibler.
Here.
Kurtz.
Here.
Langenheim.
Here.
Maxwell.
Here.
McGinty.
Here.
Michaels. Mitchell. Mosier.
Here.
O'Connor.
Still.
Weibel.
Here. We have a quorum. Point out that Mr. Bensel, Mr. Quisenberry, and Ms. Holderfield indicated me they would not be able to make this meeting tonight. Seek approval of the minutes for Community Hope for October 2nd, 2012.
Absolutely.
Moved by Ralph Blackman, seconded by Carol Ammons. Discussion on the minutes. Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Seek approval of the agenda, any addendums, or not?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Esri, seconded by Mr. James. Discussion on the agenda. Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Public participation. Please step up to the podium, speak clearly. David Tees.
Good evening. My name is David Thies, 807 South McKinley in Champaign, and I am an attorney with the firm of Weber & Thies in Urbana. I'm here tonight as attorney for the Sangamon Valley Water District. One of the matters that is before you is the possibility of a recommendation relating to a request for rezoning property to be used by our client, Sangamon Valley, in conjunction with an expansion of a water treatment facility. I'm here tonight with several people from the district. Terry Gifford is here. He's the general manager of the district, and he'll speak in a moment about the more technical aspects of the project as well as the need for it. Because there's been a lot of discussion about it, I want to address briefly the process that is being used, because there has been some controversy that surrounds the process. I'm here, hopefully, to convince you to make a recommendation to approve the zoning change. This is something that started a while back and is growing out of a need for our client to continue to expand its facilities, existing facilities that are used to treat and distribute the water, serving a number of people in the county, many out in the outskirts of Mahomet, some within Mahomet, some outside of Mahomet. What we're here to do tonight, and this is part of what I wanted to try to show you, is that we're not really at the point of impending doom and gloom, which is what I've been hearing throughout the community. At least I don't think we are there, nor do I think we need to be. This is all part of the normal process. We filed our petition, and it's gone before the Zoning Board of Appeals, because our property is in the county. It's county zoning that we're asking for. This is really to clean up some existing situations that exist with our facility. There was a variance that was required. There was a special use permit that was required. All of that has been granted. And as a matter of land use policy, the Zoning Board has recommended that the change be approved. That recommendation includes discussion of what your ordinances say. Your ordinances say that if approved, the zoning change would include a requirement that the ordinances of Mahomet be complied with. And no one has ever suggested that that's not the case. There was even a suggestion in the beginning of the Zoning Board of Appeals process that that be included as a condition, and in the end that really wasn't necessary. Your ordinances already say that. There has been some suggestion that we should have gone to the village of Mahomet beforehand, and really that's a premature kind of a thing, because it starts with the zoning request. It's now technically and formally that we would talk to Mahomet. And nonetheless, as a part of this process, there have been ongoing discussions with Mahomet, and they basically come down to one issue, and that is that the Sangamon Valley does not feel that it should be obliged by Mahomet. discussions have taken place where our client, Sangamon Valley, has been very open in its desire to have an intergovernmental agreement. Sangamon Valley is basically a unit of local government. Mahomet is the same. We proposed an agreement, although the details, we never got to the point where we could work them out, but I don't have a lot of doubt that all of the land use issues that normally are dealt with would be worked out. I haven't heard of a single objection that is a problem. The reason we want to do that by an intergovernmental agreement as opposed to merely having a minor subdivision approved is that the minor subdivision process in Mahomet would require annexation. And out of respect for the integrity of Sangamon Valley as a unit of local government, we've asked that this arrangement be worked on as an intergovernmental agreement and that the requirement of annexation be waived, that it not be imposed upon us because of the control issue. I'll talk a lot more later about that as issues come up, but I just want to mention one other thing. There's a suggestion that litigation is about to be filed, and nothing could be further than the truth. We've attempted to work out an intergovernmental agreement. We don't want litigation. There are a million ways to solve the problems that exist here. And from a land use point of view, the hearing before the Zoning Board of Appeals, the recommendations from your staff, make it clear that we're doing everything we need to do. This is a slam dunk. Because we're cleaning up an existing site, we're addressing a need, and the only issue is whether this facility should be required to be annexed to the village. This is not a private development. This is not any one individual's investment. This is a facility that is serving a lot of people who are going to need the water that is distributed by Sangamon Valley. So, and out of respect for the integrity of this unit of local government, we ask that you help us by approving this, overriding the protest that has come, a protest that we don't exactly understand, which I think will be the greatest encouragement you could give to the parties to get together, something we've already tried to do, but we've been rebuffed in our attempt to come up with an intergovernmental agreement. Thank you very much. I'll answer questions if there are any.
Harry Gifford.
Good evening, everyone. Kerry Gibbard, 1106 South Mario Drive, Mahomet, Illinois. I am the general manager for Sangamon Valley Water. Sangamon Valley Public Water District is in Mahomet. It's north of 74 and east of 47. We serve 4,500 water and wastewater customers. We're in kind of a crunch here now. We have a situation where the EPA says you got to have off your annual average use of days worth of storage, water storage. We have a third of that. That has been our engineering evaluation that the EPA does every 2 years for several years, warning us to get more storage. The drought this summer, we were hitting just with the peak days, right at what we need with the buffer capacity to heat fire protection. So we're running on the high end. Fire protection is currently a concern. So we are in a critical situation. We have to do this water plan. I'm excited about what we're trying to do. We're working with Smart Energy Design Assistance Center, the University of Illinois Architectural Department, to come up with a green energy efficient building. We're using new technology. It's a green technology, which puts less salts to the river. I'm here just to talk about the technical part of this as far as what the operations are. But that's where we're at, what we're doing, and I just request that you recommend the override this protest. Is there any questions?
There'll be questions later. No questions at this time. Next is Jeremy Baumberger.
First, I just wanted to take a moment to congratulate the board on how far the discourse around Champaign's criminal justice system has come in the past 9 months. I've watched the discussion in this room shift from a narrow, short-sighted focus on facilities to an open-minded consideration of and commitment to the health and safety of the community we all live in. I'm hoping to contribute to that discussion tonight by calling to mind an issue which has fallen by the wayside recently, and that's the public safety sales tax. Back in the spring, at the request of the board, County Administrator Deb Busey presented a projected funding model for a $20 million jail expansion. In that model, she suggested that starting in 2014, the fulfillment of some portion of the county's current debt obligation, as backed by the public safety sales tax, would make it possible to begin paying interest on bonds which would be necessary to take out in order to begin the construction project which was being discussed at that time. The information distributed by Ms. Busey indicated that we would be able to begin paying a little less than $500,000 on the new debt starting in 2014. For the next 5 years after that, Ms. Busey wrote that just shy of $1 million worth of the revenue from the public safety sales tax could be dedicated to servicing the new bonds. For the next 19 years thereafter, from 2020 to 2039, Ms. Busey's spreadsheet indicated that more than $1.5 million from the sales tax could be made available in order to pay off $20 million in bonds by 2040. I mention this at the current juncture because I wish to offer an alternate perspective to the commonly held notion that the county is broke. Certainly, the county is broke when it comes to funding the public defender's office, which has seen a decline in expenditures, the loss of at least one full-time equivalent position, salary freezes, and cuts to their commodities and services budgets, despite the fact that their collective revenues have been on the rise. The actual 2010 expenditures by the public defender's office in this county totaled $969,693. The debt service on a $20 million jail expansion in 2015 alone was projected by the county administrator to be $934,900. Only about one-ninth of this amount would be necessary to restore the public defender's budget to its level in 2008. Alternately, were that entire amount to be made available to the 13 attorneys who serve the indigent defendants of this county, they would just about have fiscal parity with their counterparts in the state's attorney's office. To take another tack, let's look at Community Elements, whose annual revenue has also been steadily declining for at least the last 5 years. In 2008, Community Elements' total revenue was about $10.5 million. The Champaign County Mental Health Board's grant made up 8% of that amount. In 2011, they collected $9.3 million, and the Mental Health Board's grant was 8% of that amount. So, in a time of fiscal hemorrhage, the county board's support for low-cost, high-quality mental health services in this county declined to the tune of about $100,000. Here, too, it appears the county is unable or unwilling to provide the support we agree our community needs so desperately. According to the county administrator's projections, beginning in 2019, the county will have public safety funds available, which could restore Community Elements and the public defender's office to 2008 service levels, with more than 300 grand left over to support the expansion or inception of a wide variety of economic and or social programs, as well as alternatives to incarceration, which would actually promote public safety in Champaign. Thank you for your time.
Is there any other public participation? All right, next up is communications. I have a couple. First of all, obviously the aggregation referendum passed. That's why we had a public hearing. We're going to have another public hearing for the next account. We also have to make some decisions on the governance of and fees for that program. So please be prepared to act on that at the next account meeting. And next account, we're also going to vote on our budget. So if you plan on making any amendments to that budget or changes, do it at the COW. Don't wait for the final meeting because there has to be lots of numbers have to be crunched if making any changes. Next item is in December, we often cancel some of the meetings, and Deb has talked to some of the heads of certain areas. Which ones do you recommend we?
Well, the meetings for the first week in December would be the meetings that are on tonight's agenda, ELA, County Facilities, and County Highway. And at this time, all three of those department heads don't believe that they will need to hold meetings in December. And because we won't even know who the committee members or chairs of those committees are until the third, and the first meeting would be on the fourth, we are suggesting that those meetings be canceled in December. We have typically done this in the past so that we would just have the committee of the whole on December 11th and then the county board meeting on the 20th.
Any objection? I think we can do that. And finally, I want to say that normally when I look out over I see Mr. James. Today I don't. What a pleasure that is. I
You'll miss me.
Any other communications from the board? All right, county facilities. Mr. Beck, you can stay right there, I think.
Right here? Has everyone received a copy of this, that monthly report? Is there anything you wish to highlight?
There is nothing I wish to highlight on the report, but I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Mr. Richards.
I do have a question, Mr. Reinhardt. We're almost done with this fiscal year. Can you just take a look at this and tell us how much you think these line items are basically going to be under or over, or if everything's basically going to hit budget when this fiscal year settles?
I think all the repair and maintenance line items will be really close to being on budget, as we're projecting now. I do expect a certain amount of savings in the utilities, gas, and electric. This time I'm not prepared to say, but we're still at 63% for the gas service with only 2 months worth of billing left. Mother Nature's good to us. We'll come out in really good shape.
I'll keep my fingers crossed.
Any other questions regarding the report? Yes, Ms.
I just wanted to ask when the completion of Lyle Shuler would be and an update on the downtown facility and its project.
We will get to that in the next item.
Oh, yes, that's true. I'll move on.
Ms. Petrie.
Has only one building been fitted with electrical saving lights, or two?
Two.
Yep. Two, okay. Perfect. Is it possible in another month to give us another column on the report specifically targeting those two buildings so we can see the differential in the of what things cost last year as compared to what things are costing us this year?
I think we can do that, yes.
Okay.
If not necessarily on this report or some part of
it. Or some way, however works best for you to do it. But it would be nice just to see those comparisons so we can appreciate what all your efforts have brought forth.
Sure. I would suggest that you actually list the kilowatts because obviously the price of kilowatts varies and you can include both.
Okay.
Any other questions? Chair, we entertain a motion to receive and place.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Essery, second by Ms. Adams. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the same. Motion carries. The ARPA Pell project, I see we have a letter from Burns Clancy. Right.
On page 8 of your agenda is the, I will, if you may, call it the final report for the 202 South Upper Martell Road construction project, which includes the East Campus Site Stormwater Project. We did adjust the spreadsheet to show the change orders that were issued as requested for the change orders for cross-construction through the project, and as of now, all change orders have been completed, all final payments have been made, all documents have been received. The project is officially closed out.
Downtown jail facility, give us a look at
that. You have a handout on at your desk or location that supplied you with a brief overview of where we're at. As you remember, back in August, the County Board approved funding for the limited roof repairs for $24,000. Noble and Black Roofing was awarded that project for $21,116. And then during the month of September, the County Board approved the additional funding of $50,000. And we added the remaining balance from the limited roof repairs to that, leaving us a balance of $52,884. With that, as I reported last month, we talked with the sheriff, we identified the improvements and were prioritized, and then purchase orders were issued to the following companies. R.D. Cox Masonry for the caulking and parapet, coping above the roof line and the exterior expansion joint, which is approximately 3 or 4 foot down around the perimeter of the building, which is the roof line and everything above it, and the obvious cracks and fissures where we've had expansion on the northeast and northwest corners of the building. Rosler Construction gave us the best price for shower stall wall sheeting, which is an aluminum sheeting installed over the block surface, which has had multiple coats of paint. Rosler Construction was also the awarded purchase order for the painting of the day rooms of A, B, J, and K. Now, if you're wondering why we chose those particular cell blocks in those rooms, it's because the physical plant has painted part of the day rooms and on two of the cell blocks. This area will finish out all of the west side where they house the females and other areas, and the isolation cells of A and B. And the last item that we did was to replace the security locks that were purchased for the obsolete security locks in the main corridors, which are heavily used, much more than the individual cell doors. On the second page is a breakdown of all of the contractors who supplied prices, the categories in which we grouped them, and the price quotes and the purchase orders. I would like to point out on the second page that we structured the shower stall pricing and the day room pricing individually, individually priced by each person, with the expectation that we would not be able to complete everything. So you'll see that the Rosler on day room painting, Rosler Construction, which was total price of painting everything it needed to be, was $13,660. With prioritizing the projects, all we had left that we were able to do was $4,580 worth of work. So I hope you explain. So when we're all finished with all the purchase orders issued, there was only a balance of $502 left from the project that the monies you awarded us to work with.
Questions from the members of the board. Yes, Mr.
Chair. So you're saying on the painting, he was only able to do so much of it, not all of it.
That is correct.
So his bid was lower. But I'm just amazed when I look at bidding, and they all were given the same spec sheets, I'm sure, that look at the range of quotes there.
They were quite surprising. Yes, I agree. There was a large
range. Especially on the shower stalls and day room painting. But I'm glad that work was done, and I'm sure everybody in this room feels that way. So thank you.
Mr. Adams.
I just want to say I appreciate you putting it together. I know that we threw this at you in kind of short notice toward the end of the year. I'm impressed with what we have been able to get done this year, but we'll definitely be asking you to give us an update as far as what still I think remains to be done in the coming calendar year. It seems like the dollar amount that was allocated was based not necessarily on saying, you know, okay, this is all we need to spend, but this is probably all we can get done this year. So we'll be revisiting this next year, I hope.
Good. Yes.
Any other questions from members of the board? Yes, Ms. Petrie.
Thank you. I'd like to go back to the day room painting and have a little more conversation on this low bid. What type of paint was used? I mean, this is really low.
Either that one was really low or the rest were high. We specified the exact paint, low VOCs paint, specified by Sherman Williams, and a water-based latex for the area, but a water-based enamel for the area going back to the showers. And they were to supply a price quote of equal or better, and they all did supply that price quote. So that type of paint.
Okay.
Any other questions from members of the board? The next matter is the Lyle
At this point, so I'd say it's completely empty. We're scheduled to work Saturday morning. I have some employees. We're going to actually demo. We've been bringing in electric jackhammers. We're going to remove the raised platform where the county board chairman sat in the past, and the audio video room is ready for C.B. Lloyd, who is scheduled to be there next Tuesday, And we have carpet in stock. We are hitting the ground running, so we'll be ready for December 1, we hope.
Any questions? Yes, Mr. James.
Can I get a block of that concrete as we're going away, Kim?
How big?
Oh, as big as you can get it. I'm going to drop it in this car.
Watch two road runners. Thanks, Bruce.
The equipment, did he test some things down that you'll be driving for a few weeks?
I didn't understand that.
Could we not nail down the desks and things until we try them for a few weeks to see?
None of the furniture will be nailed down, screwed down, fastened to the floor, with the exception that we have to put in a tombstone floor box for where we anticipate the public participation table to be, so that we can have data connection and power there, and the staff table. Other than that, none of the county board tables are going to be fastened in any position.
Further questions? Thank you, Alan. Chair's report. This is my last night as chair of facilities. It has been a very interesting and challenging experience. I served 10 years as chair of the policy committee, and these 2 years felt much better than 10 years on policy, which is not to say that it's been a bad experience, but it's been that very interesting, vibrant experience. I think that the challenges that we've seen with regard to the jail issue have been good, solid challenges. It's made all of us think. We consider some of our built-in notions, and I think that's good. I am very lucky to have served on this board more years than I care to remember, but serving was some really incredibly interesting and intelligent and committed people. People don't run for the county board for the money, that's for sure, not for $45. You do it because you care about your community, whether you're a Democrat, Republican, you're a member of the Champaign County Board, and you're a member of the larger community. County, as a form of government, is one of the oldest forms of government in Western civilization. You can track it back almost 1,200 years in Britain and in France. It's a very honorable unit of government. And we've been very, very lucky in this community to have very dedicated servants of the community on this board. Great people. One of them spoke tonight, Dave Thies, who served on this board. I have served with just incredible people. Steve Mosier and I do not agree on very much, but I think we have always respected each other. We got together and worked our butts off to help build a new courthouse. We worked on the old jail project, the youth detention project, all sorts of facilities. We have been blessed. When I started out on this board with Jackie White as our administrator, and Jackie and I had an intense relationship, but I have total respect for her financial abilities. I worked with Denny Enlin and Deb Busey, who is a gem. She is the star, as far as I'm concerned, of administrators anywhere, and I include the entire university. She is just an incredible person to work with. She's straightforward, honest, gives you the facts. She'll give you a penny if you push, but she knows the role of an administrator. I have served under a number of chairs. Mr. Shields, who we named a room after, and it's well-earned. He is still one of my favorite members of the board. He is one of the most honorable, decent people I have ever worked with. Bud Barker, who, I can't lie, Bud and I never got along, but he did move things in various directions. Mr. Mosier and I had a good relationship. I could always walk in his office and talk. Enjoyed working with Pat Avery and Bart Wasaki. And one of my favorite people in this sport is Pius Weibel. He is a calm, gentle person who I think does not particularly enjoy politics, but he is very honorable and very decent as your board chair. And I think it's a loss to this county that he is not going to be on the board. But I understand why he's leaving, because I'm doing it too. We do have larger lives. But I have enjoyed every member of the board. I've enjoyed serving as chair of facilities. You've all been a great, great board and contributing ideas. Thank you. I don't.
Highway Transportation, Ms. Kohler.
The first thing we have for consideration was in county and township motor fuel tax claim for October 2012.
Move to approve. Second.
Move and approve. Any discussion?
Thank you. We have some discussion, it's sort of a request. And basically because I didn't want to pop through all the previous packets to keep a running total, but is there some way, when you give us this report, if you could sort of give us the running total we spent and the remaining balance, because that would be most helpful to, so I can carry it in my head.
For the motor fuel tax? Not on the townships, probably, because that's kind of out of our control, because it's controlled by the Township Highway Commissioners. But on the county side, yes, we could do that.
That'd be great. Thank you so much.
Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The next thing is our county engineer report.
Okay, item B is we've talked about this project in previous meetings, the Dewey Fisher Road project, which starts at St. Thomas More High School, which is the northerly city limits of the city of Champaign. It goes up to U.S. Route 136. This is a resolution kind of as a holding spot. Don't believe that we can build County Highway 1 for that distance for $1 million. That might have happened back in the 60s, but it won't happen now. We plan on multiple, when we have applied for multiple different funding sources for this project. We actually have $1.6 million in federal dollars. We have applied for $900,000 in what is called truck access route program dollars, which is basically dollars to build a roadway to the 80,000-pound truck route standards. And we're also applying for highway safety improvement project dollars, which are dollars obviously for safety improvements to widen shoulders, put in rumble strips, do that kind of work to improve the safety of the road like we did down on Monticello Road. So we anticipate when this project is done, it'll look very similar in style when you're driving down it as the Monticello Road project looked when we finished that. So this $1 million is an appropriation basically to get the project started, to give it a section number, have motor fuel tax money appropriated to it so we can begin the process. It's a project that's not going to happen next summer, but it's a 2014 project. But we need to buy right-of-way, we need to do engineering, we need to do a lot of things prior to starting this project. So we're appropriating $1 million. We'll probably be back to appropriate the remainder of the balance that we don't get through these other funds at some other point. But this is just a resolution to kind of begin the process on the project. So I would ask for...
Am I up?
Yep. You got it. Okay.
Is there any plan to alter the offset of the correction line?
No.
You're going to build it on the same right-of-way?
Yes. We're basically planning on purchasing... This is, you know, from afar when you're looking down from an airplane, but about 10 feet on either side of the roadway in order to incorporate wider shoulders, wider ditches, put in a paved shoulder.
That's really not bad, but it could be improved.
It could be improved, but we haven't had, to my knowledge, had any great, in my 8 years, had any safety issues with that particular place up there. So to do something like that would obviously be more money and more right-of-way. You know, that kind of thing.
Can we get a move, somebody to move it and say,
Second.
You mentioned resources that you are planning to go to or that are going to. Part of the conversation we had at caucus, surrounded the possibility that you may not get all this money.
Yes.
And in this is $1 million, and I'm assuming you budgeted somewhere down the line that you feel that you have some kind of window of cushion of funds that if in fact you have to come back, or what is that elasticity?
We have $1.6 million in federal dollars.
You have that already?
Yes. That's okay. Already programmed for 2014.
Okay.
Plus this $1 million, so that's 2.6. If we didn't get the TARP money and if we didn't get the HSIP money, which are roughly $1 million a piece, so that gets us up to $4.6 million. And it's about a $6 million job as we look at it right now.
Okay.
If we didn't get some of those funds, we'd probably downsize the project to some extent. If we didn't get the safety dollars, we wouldn't do as many safety features on the project. So we're looking, you know, if we can get all that money together, we're looking at... you know, 3.6 million, so we'd have to appropriate 2.4, and 3.6, we have to appropriate 2.4 basically for motor fuel tax. We could probably go up to about 3.4 with our current budget. Anything beyond that, we'd have to start whittling the project down.
But is there an option B that you wouldn't whittle down the project, you would just prolong it to another year, so then you can go into that?
Okay. We could, yeah.
Thank you.
I'd rather do safety improvements while we're there and do it right than to do it three-fourths right and just to save a little bit of money. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you very much.
Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Item C, and you've got a map on page 14 which shows the Dewey Fisher Road there in yellow, which is the project we just spoke about. And then items C and D, although they're not the same project, they kind of go hand in hand because they're both bridge replacement projects along Dewey Fisher Road. You'll see up there on the northerly end of the project. Both of these bridges are the old precast, pre-stressed deck beam bridges where the steel on the bottom of them is starting to rust and show through. Do they have to be replaced at this very second? No, but it's similar to the projects that we did up on Maplewood where all of a sudden it went from you could see the rust stains on the bottom of the bridge to, oh my gosh, we got to post this to 10 tons. So we're trying to get out ahead of that. You don't know with these kind of bridges how fast that deterioration is actually going to take place. So while we're working on County Highway 1 and in an effort to do it right and to get it all done kind of in one foul swoop, we have resolutions, and these are actual dollars, what we've predicted and estimated the cost of these two projects are. Bridge C is a little longer. It's a three-span bridge, so we're estimating that at $850,000, and then item D is a single-span bridge that we're estimating at $650,000 to replace those two bridges. We would like to do those bridges in tandem, so that we get a better price, award them in one package, basically, to one contractor. I don't believe we can close them both at the same time because there'd be houses that are trapped in between. And if you look on the map, there's only one road that goes to the east, and there's no roads to go to the west. But we're anticipating doing these projects possibly in 2014 or 2013 and possibly in 2014, depends on what kind of... you know, money we get on the County Highway 1 road project and when that's going to go. So, but we would like to get them both done at the same time, try to get a value there for doing two similar types of projects within a half a mile of each other with the same contractor.
Okay, it's been a moment.
Omnibus motion to move for approval items C and D, please.
Second.
It's been moved and second. Now it's open for discussion. Maxwell.
Jeff, these are fairly large engineering projects for these two structures.
Right.
Not real large, but fairly large. And I would like to encourage you, if at all possible, to use the local engineering firms so that the money can stay and help our local folks as much as possible.
We've been working with since this is kind of one project, if you will, I mean, Dewey Fisher Road and the two bridges, we're working with Soderman and Associates to kind of be the engineer of the entire corridor, including the bridge projects. And they're a local firm.
Kurt?
Thank you. Jeff, have we discussed or had an opportunity for any minority contractors to bid on this project or any of the projects?
We have minority goals on all of our projects. They're not actually mandated on projects such as this, but we do set goals for minorities. And typically, on projects of this magnitude, your minority business owners are going to be the people that do the guardrails, do the seating, do some of the minor work. You're not going to find too many minority businesses that will build an $850,000 bridge, but a lot of them do hire minority business enterprises for guardrail is a big one. Like I said, seating's a big one. Doing some of the minor work on the projects, yes.
That leads me just to an information question. When there are federal dollars involved in any highway work, at the federal level, are there minority hiring requirements that come along with the acceptance of federal dollars?
There's a statewide percentage that the state has to meet, which includes all county, township, and state projects. So there's a goal on a county project, and what they do is they take all the money that they've used, with, let's say they spend $100 million in the state of Illinois, and 10% of that money is from the feds, say that you got to spend it on minority businesses, then they aggregate that across
it's
all
aggregate.
The projects.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not singular.
Okay, thank you very much.
Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Last item is a resolution of award authority for the 2013 Township Materials Maintenance. As many of you know, we do all of the bids and awards on behalf of the townships for their seal coat aggregate as well as their gravel and stuff that they use on the roadways during summer. Each township has their own program. They set up their own amounts of aggregate that they need. We put it in a large bid every year on behalf of the townships, and it goes out the bid to local truck drivers and local aggregate suppliers to get that aggregate from a supplier and haul it to a stockpile site for each township. So we're talking about, you know, probably 50 to 60 different aggregates. You know, I mean, they're not all different, but let's say Rantoul Township might have three different aggregates and Compromise Township might have two or three. And so you got a whole list of aggregates that need to be hauled to the townships. Somebody has to award this because the townships don't want to award them individually. The highway commissioners are responsible, as I said, for setting up their program and doing their budgeting through us for that program. But we have the physical bid letting, and every year we're going to have that this year on November the 29th. The reason we try to do it in November is because a lot of these guys that haul the aggregate on behalf of the townships are, they haul a lot of farm stuff, they haul grain and that kind of thing during this season. So we're trying to find that window where these guys have, you know, not much to do, where they'll give them a good price to haul this aggregate. And that bid opening is on November 29th, and I'm just asking for the authority to go ahead and award those contracts to those low bidders that the Township Highway Commissioners will be asking them to be awarded to so that they can start with the aggregate hauling almost immediately.
So moved.
Second. It's been moved and seconded. Now it's open for discussion. Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
That's all I have. Madam Chair. Sure. Thank you.
Quick checkup. Are the closed minutes still going around?
They're right here.
Okay. Mr. Jay, have you seen the closed minutes yet?
Yeah. All right. Okay.
Move on to environmental land use, Mr. Kurtz.
Thank you, Mr. Lavo.
And John. Okay, first item up, number 8717-12. This is the Sangamon Valley Public Water District, Barfield Enterprises LLC. Request to amend the zoning map to change the zoning district designation from an R4, multiple family residence zoning district, to an Ag2. That's an agricultural zoning district to allow development of an expansion for an existing non-conforming water treatment plant authorized by the Zoning Board of Appeals in related case 718-12. I have a motion, please.
So moved.
Second. I have Mr. James and I have Mr. Langanine as a second. Thank you. Before we go to discussion, just a quick comment. The Zoning Board of Appeals unanimously recommended enactment of the map amendment on October 11th, and the ZBA also unanimously approved the related case of the special use permit for the water treatment plant for this case. Discussion, please. Ms. Petrie.
I move that we suspend the rule so we can take advantage of some of the expertise that's in the room.
I have a motion to suspend the rules. That's all moved by Mr. Petrie.
Seconded.
Second.
Seconded by.
I'm passing. By Mr. Carter. Sorry about that one. All in favor to suspend the rules?
Aye.
Motion carried. Gentlemen. Patsy, do you have a first question? You want to ask any of these gentlemen, or do you have a comment?
You and Mr. Tees.
You want to step to the podium? First, I'll have you one more. Thank you.
I remember the first name, it's Dib.
Hey.
No, not yours.
Oh, my neighbor.
Right. I'd like to hear a little bit more about the possibility of the intergovernment agreement, and if there is a time framework that you think might be useful for them to sit down across the table and try to resolve that, because my takeaway from your presentation during public participation is that would be a good best step.
It's the one that we've suggested as a way of accomplishing what everyone really wants to accomplish. First of all, as to the possibility, it is legally permissible to do what we're talking about here, not by